Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning. And happy Mother's Day.
I think he is Mr. Incredible. Yeah. I said when they flashed his picture up there, I thought, he's so handsome. And so, yeah, to me, he is Mr. Incredible. But that means I'm the elastic woman, right?
You know, quite a few years ago, we were living in Penang as missionaries there with Youth with a Mission. And one of my friends from back in the States sent me an email. And it was a website. It was a URL to a website, Pixar, I think it was. And I didn't have a clue. Why are they sending me this comic website? And I opened it up and it said, Bob Parr is Mr. Incredible. And I got a laugh. So I tell all my grandchildren that your grandpa is Mr. Incredible. So this morning we also want to extend honor and blessing to all of the mothers that are here today. Before we get started, just want to have a word of prayer over the message and ask that Father really meets us where we need to be touched this morning in this Father's Day, or Mother's Day, sorry. Father, we love you and we bless you and thank you for your word. God, you sent your word to touch us, to heal us, to change our lives, God, to shape us and mold us. And so, Father, we ask today that your logos would become rhema in our hearts, God. Will you come and change our hearts, change our lives, Father, for the better. Grow us up, Father, as your sons and your daughters, God, so that we better reflect your glory and who you are to this earth, God. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you for this morning and for this church, for this gathering, for this family. In Jesus' name we pray these things. I'd like to thank Pastor Daniel and Pastor Vinaja and also Aaron. Pastor Aaron and the other pastors that I'm not sure who you are, but I know you're there. Thank you so much for inviting us and having us here at Coos. We are honored to be here. This morning what we want to talk about is we want to encourage us all to cultivate in our hearts a heart of honor towards our mothers, not just on Mother's Day, not just on that one day that falls every 365 days this time of year, but also each day of the year, that we would express love and respect and honor to our mothers.
So we're going to go back in time and look at the very first mom. Who do you think was the very first mom? Yeah, Eve. So let's take a look at who Eve was. And Bob will read back and forth out of Scripture.
Genesis 4:1 says that now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord.
And you see, so Eve was a first. She was the first mother. She was the very first woman on earth, right? So we can learn something from her. She was the very first wife. She was the very first companion and helper to her husband. She was the very first co-manager in the business. They had a family business, didn't they? And she was the very first co-manager with her husband. She was known as the mother of all mankind. So she was the first in what she did. But let's look at her, because she wasn't a perfect mom, was she? And we'll find some things that I did a little bit of inductive study and some observation in Genesis 3 to find out. She wasn't all that perfect. And so, that makes me feel a little bit better of how I mommed. And we're going to look at, you'll see Bob and I flow back and forth, because you're going to hear his story of how he was a wayward son and how he reconciled and honored his mother and the process that God took him through. And then you're going to hear some stories from me as a mom and how I made some mistakes. And what I did to journey back into my children, opening their hearts back up and giving me the greatest Mother's Day gift a mom could ever have, and that's forgiveness. They opened their hearts. So you'll see how he closed his heart, but yet you'll see how some of our children open their hearts. And it's a journey, isn't it? Because we don't stand here. Our road has not been easy in our marriage. And our children, we don't still have like a perfect family, but we're a family in a journey. And you know, healing is a process. Let's be reminded, just because you forgive someone, or my children forgave me, or he has forgiven what took place in his family, the healing is still a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And so we stand here very transparent. We want to be very real with you. We are not a perfect family. We don't have the perfect marriage, believe it or not. It's a process.
We have an incredible marriage.
Oh, we have an incredible marriage. That's right. But we don't have a perfect one. But it's a process. You know, forgiveness opens the door for you to step through and for the healing to begin. And sometimes, I want to make just a little sidetrack here. Sometimes we think as soon as we forgive, everything's perfect. As soon as we get born again, everything's perfect. Is that true? No. And so it's a journey. So even now today, we walk out some things with our kids, even in our marriage, and even as a mom. You know, we're constantly wanting to learn the honor of culture in our family. And in our family, that has been a very weakness in our family. Because both Bob and I, and myself as a mom, we communicate with shame. And this is an area that we've had to really be deliberate to work on as a family. And let me say one more thing, that my daughter, our daughter, is she's studying psychology. So she's getting her PhD right now in psychology. And 1 year, she lived with us for 1 year, about... When was that? 2005.
2005 or six.
Yeah, 2005 and 2006. She came back into the household to live with us. So she would have been in her late 20s, about 20. She's 37 now, so she'd been about 29, right in there. But she made a comment to Bob and I that was very humbling. But she says, "Mom, Dad, you all shame each other all the time." And you'll see here how we're going to go through five different steps of how you can communicate and how you can communicate the Father's love, or how you can miscommunicate that love. And in our household, when our daughter told us that we shame each other, we're like, "Whoa, we do?" And we're like, "Do we?" But then we started seeing areas in our lives, how we communicate with our children, how we communicate with each other, that we shame each other. We give each other the look, which we'll talk about today. But you see, we want to honor and build a culture of honor in our families. And we will take a look at the mom who was the very first one who taught you how to honor, who taught you how to express love. And we'll see how that took place. We're going to unpack that. So she was the very first woman, the very first mother. And here's what we think that she might have looked like. So we go way back, Adam and Eve. And what do you think? Wait, oh, you got to go like this.
Oh, yeah.
Do we look like Adam and Eve? That's maybe what it looked like in the garden.
I wish my incredible body looked like that now.
So see, our moms were the very first ones. She was the mother of all the living. That was her title. Imagine that. The mother of all living. She was a mom that had great accomplishments. She was a mom, but there was very little talked about her in Genesis. So a lot of times, just like most moms, she gets overlooked. And how about it, moms? Come on. We work and we toil 24/7 for our children. Do we always get praised and the thanks? No, we don't. And so being a mom is not an easy job title. So I'm sure for Eve, the same with her. when we can tell with her children too. There was a lot of squabbles that went on in that family.
And so honoring our mothers has been a value that God has had for thousands and thousands of years. And we see this in Moses' writing in Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You see, God valued this culture of honor towards our mothers even thousands of years ago. And nothing has changed since. Nothing has changed. God still values and wants us not to just... In fact, if you think about it, I don't believe that back when Moses wrote this writing, I don't believe there was a Mother's Day. Do you? I think that's a Western thing that we remember our mothers and we honor, and it's a good thing. But I believe that what God had in mind when he wrote this scripture down was for us to cultivate a heart attitude of honor, a lifestyle, if you will, of honoring our mothers and our fathers. In this particular passage, it says it speaks of both our parents. But today we want to focus on our mothers and how we can honor our mothers.
And you see, it's your mom that's the very most important figure in a child's life. And look at that photo. Look at all those moms. Six moms. This was a photo of my daughter's Bible study. And all the girls were pregnant at the same time, except my daughter. Which, like I said before, it was a good thing because she didn't have a husband yet. But all her friends were getting ready to have a baby. And you see, a mom is the very first. All of us have one thing in common here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bob said earlier in the first service, each one of us are coming in here with a different emotion. And we want to recognize that because some of us come from different families, backgrounds. Some of us experienced having a mom in the house. Some of us might not. Some of us maybe were raised by somebody besides your mother. Your mother could already be passed away. There's so many different dynamics here. And so we want to include all of them. But most important, one thing we all have in common is we all had a mom. And you know why and how I know that? Because we're all here. So that meant she birthed you. And so today, if maybe you come from a background that was very difficult and maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your mom, we might hit a few heartstrings here. But you know what? You can honor her. Maybe she didn't teach you how to live life. Maybe she didn't communicate love the best that she knew how. But she gave you life. And if you can honor her for just that one thing, she gave you life. That's to be honored. And so you see a mom, it's in the tummy. That was your first home, your very first home. It could have been very toxic. I mean, think about it. If your mom was a smoker, or if she did drugs, or if she was very upset, if she was angry, if she had a lot of emotional pain, that was the environment that you lived for 9 months. And so you will pick up on that as a baby within the womb. If your mother was a worshiper, oh, then maybe you're drawn to worship. So a lot takes place in the womb. You can go ahead and read these.
So our mothers are our primary caregivers for the first 2 years of our lives. Generally, dad is out working and making a living, but mom is at home with the baby, caring for the baby and pouring into the baby's life. She imparts warmth, security, and trust. The scripture says in Psalm 22, verse 9, that it's upon our mother's breast that we learn to trust. It's upon our mother's breast. And during those formative years, those early, early years, during our relationship with our mother, she's imparting relationship and trust into our heart. When we have a need, we go to our mother. Mother nurtures us and nourishes us with what God has given her. She's the first connection to love, bonding, and relationships. And so what she's building a foundation during those first 2 years, she's building a foundation in us. She has built a foundation in us so that when we grow up and as we become adult children and go out into the world, we have a solid foundation of trust and the ability to socialize and relate to other people in an expression of love.
I think, as Bob mentioned, Psalm 22. Let's take a look at Psalm 22, verse 9. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me to trust while upon my mother's breast. Now, let's pause there a moment. You know, we laugh and sort of joke, and it's sort of embarrassing a little bit. And share the story about when you asked your mom.
Yeah, when about probably 15 years ago, I was in Penang and we were living there, and we had an extra bedroom and I was working out, doing some physical weight so that I could keep up my Mr. Incredible, so I could still fit in my suit, my superhero suit. But I was working out and I was listening to a teaching CD of prayers that you pray when you want to ask forgiveness to your mom. And the speaker was a dynamic speaker in South Carolina, one of my spiritual fathers. But he was saying, "Mom, will you please forgive me or Mom, I forgive you for not breastfeeding me." And when I heard him say, "Mom, I forgive you for not breastfeeding me," I actually, the Spirit of the Lord put me on my knees. And I began to weep uncontrollably. And I didn't quite understand what was going on at the time, but the Holy Spirit was touching me deeply, because I didn't honestly have a clue whether I was breastfed or not. I never had that conversation with my mom before.
I mean, think about it. How many here know if you were breastfed or not?
How many of you know?
Okay, just a few.
There's some of you, yeah. Some of you know.
But it's not just something you talk about.
I didn't have a clue. And so that evening, I already had planned to talk to my mom on the telephone. She was in the U.S. and I was in Penang. And so I called my mom later that evening, and I was talking to her. And I told her about my experience of falling to the floor and weeping and crying. And I said, "Mom, I never really knew if I was breastfed or not. So was I?" And my mom's on the other end of the telephone, and here I am, a 45-year-old man, asking if I was breastfed.
Yo, my Lula.
And it got really quiet on the other end of the phone, and my mom says, "Bob, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't breastfeed you." I said, no condemnation. There's no problem. I just want to understand where I came from. I want to understand me. And what my foundation was and why I do some of the things that I do and why I'm drawn to some of the things I'm drawn to. I just want to understand. She said, "Bob, when you were young, back in the 1950s, when you were a baby, and I had," and she said, when I had your older brother, "the doctors told me that I was too small of a woman to breastfeed. And so they gave me pills to dry up my milk, and they sent me home with some milk. Similac was the name of that milk, the powdered milk for babies. And it was a marketing thing back in the 50s. Maybe they did that in Singapore too. I don't know. You know, maybe it was something like that. But when they do things like that, the child and the mother miss out on a very significant, important part of their life, foundation building. It's upon our mother's breasts that we learn to trust. And without that, without that, what's the opposite of trust? Distrust or fear. So when we're not on our mother's breast, we learn to fear." That's something to think about. So I told my mom, and I ended the conversation well, and I told her, "Mom, I forgive you. Please don't feel bad that you didn't breastfeed me. I totally understand."
Then I became curious, and I called my mom, and I'm like, and this is like, again, we're like shy. I'm like, "Mom, did you breastfeed me?" And she goes, "No, I didn't." And again, the same story, because I'm 57, he's 60, so we came from the 50s. And it was during that time in the 50s that they were pushing the milk, you know, the Similac. And my mom said the same thing. So you see, the bonding takes place upon your mother's breast. You learn about relationships upon your mother's breast. And even with my own daughter, as a mom, I only breastfed just a few weeks. And then I would prop the bottle. I was a young mom. And so it'd be like, yo, that baby wants to eat all the time. And so I would prop the bottle up in the bed. You know how you roll the towel and prop the bottle. And then I would just go leave and do what I wanted to do and let her feed off the bottle. And even today, my daughter and I still work on that bonding, because I didn't really bond with my daughter like I should have bonded. I was like 18 years old. And so it's like she bonded more with my mother than she did with me. And so that's something in my life as a mom I need to cultivate and work on. And so you see, it's the moms that care for, feed, nourish, educate, and train. And we're going to show you how that takes place. It's the moms that empower the next generation. And now look at all these mamas. They have their babies. This is 9 months later. And look, what do you see? Some of those moms, do you see that one mom? She had twins. So look at all those babies. It's us moms that empower the next generation. It's us moms that speak life into our babies. It's us moms that welcome them to life. And I'm reminded of when I found out I was pregnant with my son. My daughter was a year old, and I found out I was pregnant with him. And it was like, oh, I got a shock. It's not that I didn't want my son. It was like, oh, the timing is wrong. How can I afford another child? I was a young mom. It was way back when I was very young. And I found myself pregnant. And I was like, how can I afford baby number two? I can barely afford baby number one. And so from that time, that moment, I heard the doctor say, you know, the little machine, bzz, you're positive, you're pregnant. I was like, oh, how can? And do you know, just a few years ago, Bob and I sat in my son's room, and I got on my knees, and I said to my son, Josh, I was your first woman in your life. I taught you how to trust. I taught you about relationships. And I rejected you as far back in the womb, because I was telling him what took place when I found out I was pregnant with him. And he said, Mom, I have felt rejected by you as far back as I can remember. He said, matter of fact, every girl I try to date cheats on me, rejects me. So you see, what his perspective of a woman is, was nothing but rejection. But I was that first woman that taught him that. He wouldn't even breastfeed for me. He would spit the milk out. He would reject me. But you see, it's not that I didn't love my son. And so I repented on behalf. I was that first woman. Will you forgive me, Josh? I want to make things right. And so you see, these moms, we empower the next generation. And how do we do that?
It's through expressed love that love is communicated. It has to be that expressed love. It's easy and simple to just say the simple words, I love you. But unless we show and act out those words, then it's not really communicated clearly. It's not very convincing, is it? Unless we express that love. And we're going to look at the different ways that we can express love. Remember, we're focusing on cultivating a heart of honor towards our mothers. And I think it's interesting that this morning when I was praying about doing this message over after we did it yesterday at the 3:30 service, and I really felt like God told me, you know, it would be really good if the ways that our mothers express love to us, if we as children, whether we're adult children, whether we're young teenagers or whatever, could express back to our mothers the same way that they expressed love to us. Mm. We can, and when you see the different ways, we use the five senses that we have to receive love. Mothers use those five senses to communicate love to us. If we, in cultivating a heart of honor towards our mothers, could give that back in the same way, it would be very effective.
Very honoring.
Very honoring.
So let's take a look. How do you express love? If maybe you're not comfortable with love, you know, you were created by love, for love, to love. But if you're not comfortable with love, then it's hard for you to express love. If you never received love, it's hard for you to give that love away. So let's take a look of what it looks like. Perhaps that Eve, if we could step into Eve's sandals, or maybe she was barefoot, how did she express love? Did she breastfeed? Probably in Scripture, Old Testament times, they breastfed for up to 2 years, 24 months. And so perhaps she did that to her sons. But what took place? Because man, those sons were fighting sons, weren't they? And so it's like, what took place in that family? And it's what takes place. So let's take a look at how can we, if we're made in God's image, how can we express His love as moms to our children or to our spouses or to the person at the grocery store? How do we do that? And the first way is touch. Touch is very powerful, isn't it? Touch says,
I accept you.
I value you. I accept you.
Touch also communicates security. Mm. And so when a little baby is held by, just like this is our daughter, this is one of our daughters, and she's holding a friend's baby. And what do you think the emotion is going on? What's the emotion of that little baby right there when she's in the arms of our daughter, Jonna? The baby's probably feeling like, oh, this is a safe place. This is a place where I can just be myself and I can just relax because there is someone that loves me that's holding me close. And I'm happy and everything's, all of my needs are being met right now. And so the baby feels very comfortable. In the same way, mothers express love through touch. The opposite of that would be a misrepresentation of love. And Kelly's going to share a little bit about how we misrepresent love
through
with
touch.
Using touch.
You say James Dobson, I read some statistics about touch. And touch is required. You need a hug and a good hug, at least 10 times a day.
An embrace.
For your skin to glow.
Not just a little hug.
But a hug.
But a hug. An embrace.
You know, you need that hug from your moms because that communicates, I value you, I accept you, I affirm you. But what happens when you're a mom like me and you have a 15-year-old son that gets rebellious? How do you think I communicated love to him out of my frustration? With touch. I'm embarrassed to say, but we want to be transparent. We want to be real. What you see is who we are. We want to act the same in the pulpit as we do behind our doors. And what I did with my son, we were in Penang. We were staying in Boonsu Flats. And he came out of his bedroom and he was all fired up about something. I don't know about, I'm an American. I want to go home or whatever it was. And he was just going on and on and on.
I just have to share this real quick. Our son was a teenager. He's an American teenager living in Asia. And one of his reasons that he wanted to go back to the United States is because I've eaten too much rice and I don't have any hair on my armpit because I ate too much rice.
He told me he was so frustrated. Yeah, that was another time. He's so frustrated. Mom, if you'd stop feeding me rice, maybe I would get armpit hairs. Maybe I'd get hair on my chest. All the other kids, Americans at school, have hair on their chest. And so, but this was another time that he was angry about something. And I got so frustrated. And the kind of mothering I would do is I would take and take, okay, second time, third time, I'd warn you this, and then I would just explode with anger. And so that day, it happened to be too much. And I looked up at him, and what do you think I did with touch? Wah. Except I, okay, watch my face.
Elastic woman.
Yeah, elastic woman. The hand, I couldn't, it was like wobble. I wah across the face. I said, go to your room, Josh. Just be quiet. Go to your room. The door slammed. He slammed. I went to his room. It's only been a few years later, back probably 10 years ago, that the Holy Spirit convicted me of misrepresenting love to my son. Now, that doesn't make right what he did. But the Holy Spirit says, you go back to your son and you apologize for misrepresenting love with touch. So I went back to my son and I said, Josh, matter of fact, my husband and I took a paper, just like he said, it was the A4, you know, the long A4? This isn't a shorter size. We created a paper for every one of our kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. And each one, we put the child's name on the top. Sherry, Christopher, Joshua, Jonna, and Robert Jr. And we prayed over this paper for a couple weeks. And we said, Father, you show us, how have we misrepresented love? How as a mom, how did I misrepresent love? How did I misrepresent your nurturing heart, your tender heart, your caring heart? How did I misrepresent that to my kids? From the time they were in the womb, you know, you saw the pregnant mamas. How did I misrepresent love as a mother? And with my son, it was that slap. Because you see, touch validates. Touch. Think of touch throughout Scripture. How God, Jesus came down. God sent his only son so that we could be touched and embraced by a living God. Touch is incredible. When we do our conferences sometimes and people, their emotions come up to here and they're wanting to come out, as soon as we walk by them and give them a touch, oh, they break. Because it gives them permission to cry. It gives them permission for the pain to come out and love to come in. And so as I did that to my son, Josh, I'm sorry. I misrepresented love. It was humbling for me as a parent to do that to my son. But it brought healing and restoration. That's what I wanted to see that my son get, is healing.
So with touch, we can communicate love. We can express love. Or with touch, we can also miscommunicate love, misrepresent love.
And so here's a fun one. Okay, you start out with this one.
Okay, eye contact.
This is a fun one.
Now, we talked about the breastfeeding and the baby being, usually the baby is positioned right here with mama. And so the eye contact is 8 inches probably. You have a distance of 8 inches. The baby is looking in mama's eyes and the mama is looking in baby's eyes. And there's eye contact. And that eye contact communicates love and nurture. And the baby feels very secure. All of the needs are being taken care of. But on the other hand, the opposite of that would be the misrepresentation of love through eye contact. And what we call that is the look.
No, say it with intensity. The look. How many here know their mother's look? How many here have given that look?
It's that look. Maybe you experienced that in your car coming to church this morning with your children.
Okay, let that sink in a bit.
maybe some of you mothers had to give the look to your children in the back seat arguing with each other. And you turned around and you gave them the look. And you said, if you don't straighten up before we get to church, and if you embarrass me in church, you're in big trouble. Can anyone identify with that?
How about the look to you spouses? What do you think Eve did to Adam? He ate that apple real fast. She didn't have to say a word. And here's the look like if I'm upset with Bob. And I usually tap like this.
I know the power of Mrs. Incredible.
And how about him? How does
when
he
I see that look, I know what's in store.
And if I'm my children, oh,
Our oldest daughter, when she was born, she's 44 years old now. And when she was born, she was a very gentle, really easy baby to raise, because I never had to spank her. When she would do something that she needed discipline, I never had to lay a hand on her. I never had to get Mr. Spoon out and spank her. All I had to do was give her the look. And she knew when Daddy gave her the look, she would start crying. And I didn't have the heart to spank her then, because she was already crying. But you see how the look can communicate to a child. And I think we all are very familiar with that one. I think we all know exactly and can identify with the look, both in the negative and in the positive.
You know, it's interesting too, because that look, what follows the look is a pinch or that slap. And so eye contact, touch, that's my mama. And so when she's telling a joke, she gets really excited. I love my mama's look. And so the eye contact, touch, the voice. Then what follows? How do you think I responded to my son? I gave him the look was first and smacking him. What are you doing, Joshua? Go to your room. How shaming. How devaluating.
You compare the tone of voice that she just expressed with the voice that you might hear from a mother who's nursing her child. And remember I said there's eye contact, there's the touch, the feeling, and then the mama, you know, we make funny noises with babies, don't we?
Coo-coo.
We generally make all kinds of funny noises, but those noises communicate, and when a mama is feeding her baby, goo-goo-ga-ga-ga, you know,
so
they
beautiful.
Speak all kinds of, speaking in tongues, I think, with the baby. But the baby somehow understands, because it's the language of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's that tone of voice that makes the difference. It's the tone that makes all the difference,
yeah.
And really communicates love and acceptance and nurture.
You know, yeah. And so you see, when we see Jesus, he says, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus, you see Jesus operate in a nurturing heart, in a mothering heart. You know, Jesus says, oh, thou Jerusalem. You know, Jesus communicated not just in the masculine, but the feminine, the nurturing. And so the voice is key. And then we have the smells that come from our kitchens, our mama's kitchens. That communicates love. Your mama cooked for you. She nurtured you. She nourished you. And you think of all the smells that come from home and what that smells like. And how that's a representation. That's how she's given you love, is by what she cooks for you and nourishes you.
You know, it's amazing how our five senses have so much impact on our emotion, isn't it? And I remember when we first arrived here this past week, we came into the host home where we're staying at, and the helper was making rice. And because we live in the States, we don't always have rice all the time. But as soon as I walked in the home and I smelt the rice cooking, wow. The emotion, the wonderful smell of rice cooking. Can you remember when you'd walk into your mom's kitchen and smell the rice cooking? Didn't it feel good? Wasn't it an emotional experience? A happy memory being brought forward.
Actually, what do we do when Bob and I miss Asia and we want that? Oh, kind of love and feeling. You know what we do when we're in the U.S.? We go to an Asian market. And then we just walk up and down the aisles. Seriously, we do.
And we go to the frozen department and they have durian from Thailand frozen.
And we smell the every aroma. And we just keep walking up and down the aisles of the Chinese market. Because we long. That's comfort to us. That's nurturing to us. So you see the smell. And look at these moms. That's the blonde haired is our granddaughter. And then the little girl is her daughter. And so she's already teaching and training and nurturing her children, the next generation. And there's my mom and my sister. And how we, you know, the scripture even says, oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. Taste and see. When our mamas, nothing makes us more happy as a mama than when we serve our children. And they makan, they eat what we give them. And their hearts begin to open. And this might sound silly, but you know, I've had to work hard at my son opening his heart back up to me. And one of the ways he moved in, he was another one that moved back in with us for 9 months back in 2006 mm-hmm. or seven. And you know what? I started making him smoothies. But he would first say, I don't want. I'm like, okay. And then after a couple of weeks, he lived with us 9 months, just enough time to deliver that. I delivered that baby in 9 months. Surely I can get his heart to open up in 9 months. And every day I said, Josh, you want a smoothie? Finally, he said, yeah, I'll try one. But don't put any of that kind of sneaky ingredients you put in there, Mom. Just make me a plain banana.
Don't put
banana.
The healthy stuff
Don't
in
put
it.
The healthy stuff, just banana and strawberries. And I thought, okay, whatever. He said yes. And I would take his smoothie down to his bedroom and sit it on the desk. And I would try doing like, you know, I'd do like this. And he would go. And he was already in his, what did we say, about 7 years ago. He's 36. So we're talking 29, 30, 31 yep. years old. And he would do like this. But I remember after a couple months of making a smoothie every morning, taking it downstairs to his bedroom, putting it on his office desk. I remember the morning that I did like this and he didn't pull away. Just that one little thing. My heart leaped, you know, just like Mary and her, the baby leaped within her. I was leaping inside. My heart was so excited. My son's heart was slowly opening up to me. So you see, our moms, when we taste, that's how we serve our children and nurture them.
In 1 John 4 and verse 16, I believe it is, it says that God is love. And we also know that God is a redeemer. He fixes things that are broken.
Yeah.
And he uses expressed love to repair relationships that have been broken and damaged. And so as we cultivate in our hearts a heart of honor towards our mothers, if there's a broken relationship, if you've been estranged from your mother, or if you're a mother and you've been estranged from your children, love is the healer.
Yeah.
Because God is love. Remember Kelly said earlier, you were created by love, for love, to love. God created you and he is love, so you were created by love. He created you so that you could receive love, so that you could give love away. You fill your tank up. God fills our tanks up with love so that we can give it away. And by that, we redeem relationships that are broken.
But as we look at Eve, you know what? She mothered the best she knew how. I mothered the best I knew how. My mom mothered the best she knew how. And there are no perfect moms. There's no way your mom or I could meet all of my kids' needs. We're not perfect. And that's freeing in itself. Eve did the best she could with what she had. But look at some things I observed when I inductively looked at chapter 3 with Eve. And I studied and sort of highlighted as I read through chapter 3. She was tempted as a mom. This is the first mom, right? Have any of you mothers been tempted? You want to read the next?
Have you ever been tempted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been deceived? Eve was. Eve was even discontented. If she wasn't discontented, she wouldn't have went to that other tree. Eve was independent. This hits me. This nails my heart. She was independent. You know? I don't need him. I don't need him to tell me what to do all the time. That's probably what Eve said when she was conversing with the serpent. I don't need to go ask my husband. She was very independent. She blame shifted. Matter of fact, Eve didn't even go pray about it. She made her decision. She blame shifted. What did she say when God said, Adam? He said, look at my wife. And then what did she say? Who made her do it? The snake. Yeah, did you guys hear that? The snake. Okay, he made, so we blame shift. When we've gone to our children, when I, as a mom, I've gone to my kids, I didn't say, well, you know why I did that? Josh, you know why I slapped you? Because you were such a troubled teen. No, I didn't blame shift. I took full responsibility of how I expressed love. And so she was very impulsive. And I believe many of us can relate to Eve, the first wife, the first mom, the first woman of all living things. And we're going to look at this, and we'll finish up with this story. You see how my life was redeemed as a mom, and the kids gave me the greatest gift they ever could give me, which was forgiveness and a place of honor and their hearts to open back up to me. But what happens when you're that son? What do you do as a mom? How do you mother that? And he'll finish up with that.
And so whether you grew up in a home where mom had it all together and she was able to express love in a very healthy way all of your childhood, or whether you grew up in a home where it was very difficult, relationship was strained, and she wasn't able to express love through touch, through the gentle voice, and through eye contact, and through cooking foods. Maybe there's a variety, a diversity of people here from different circumstances and backgrounds. And so some of us have had a really healthy relationship in the home with our moms, and others of us had a more difficult. Who do you think this picture is? When I was 17, this is me.
Make that face.
In that picture.
Make that face.
Oh, that face? In that picture, I was a bass player in a rock band. And my mother and father had divorced at an early age. I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and my parents split. And so myself and my three siblings stayed in the home with my mom. And my mom was busy trying to make ends meet. She had a job, and she had a house to keep up with. She had three children that were in junior high school and going on into high school. And so she had a lot of responsibility, and she was spread very thin. There was no way that she could possibly have enough energy to pour in loads and loads of expressed love. And so what happened, what does a young teenage boy do when he sees that there's a opportunity? He takes advantage. And so that's what I did. Instead of helping my mother, I did just the opposite. And I rebelled, and I was very independent. I was a problem child. And so I began to smoke ganja. I began to stay out late. I began to sell drugs and buy drugs. I began to drink, smoke cigarettes at a very young age. I quit school when I was 16 years old. I was a real headache for my mom. And I lived that lifestyle for quite a few years. When I turned 18, I joined the U.S. Army, and I served for 5 years. I finished my high school there. All the time, I was in a party mode, though. I was just living for myself. I had gotten married, had gotten divorced. I had ruined several people's lives. And finally, when I was 29 years old, 1985, it was March the 10th, 1985, I looked at my life and I did an evaluation. And I saw, you know what? My life is terrible. My soul is empty. I have nothing in this physical realm. I have nothing to show for my life. And I was a rebellious son to my mom. I was a rebellious son to my dad, probably an embarrassment to my home family. So I cried out that day, March the 10th, 1985. I said, Jesus, if you are real, I've never experienced you before, but if you're real, help me. I'm in big trouble. I need help. And that day, I saw, I won't go into all the details of how that went down, but I got a revelation of what I needed to do. I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sinful lifestyle. I asked him to come into my heart and change me. And I made a commitment to follow him for the rest of my life. Do you know that day he set me free from drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, drinking? He even cleaned up my language, and finally I got a haircut too. And it's been an interesting journey since then. But I went back to my mom. I had a conviction in my heart, and I went back to my mom. And I said, Mom, Will you please forgive me for those teenage years when I was a rebel and you were doing the best that you could to make a way for us children to become successful? Would you please forgive me for making your job more difficult? And you see, what does honor look like? What does it look like? How can we honor our mothers? There are so many different ways that we can honor our mothers. And throughout the scripture, honor oftentimes has to do with giving finance or sustenance in one way or another. So there are so many ways. I want to encourage us all today to be creative in the ways that we cultivate a heart of honor towards our mothers. If you have the ability, you might honor your mother with finance or with food or whatever she might need. Take her out to eat often and express love to her. All of the ways that we learned about expressing love, you can do the same thing from a child, whether you're an adult child of a mother and your mother is still around, or whether you're a younger child and you want to bless your mom. Think of the different ways that you can bless your mom and honor her, not just on this day every year, not just on Mother's Day, but on every day as a lifestyle to honor our mothers, because they poured so much into us that they're well deserving of honor. And not only that, we look at the scripture there, Deuteronomy 5:16. This is the one we looked at earlier. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you." So we see it's a command. God has given us a command to honor our mothers. Do you notice that it doesn't say, honor your father and mother if they did a really good job? It doesn't say that. It just says for us to honor. And probably our mothers have done the best that they could with what they had to work with the difficulties and the surroundings and the resources that they had. They did the best that they could. And so, you know, the principle of sowing and reaping comes into effect, whether it's in the positive or the negative. But I promise you, and God promises you right there, that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. If you sow love and if you sow honor into your mothers, it will come back to you. Honor will come back to you because it's a kingdom principle. The principle of sowing and reaping. So I want to encourage us all. We look at Exodus 20:12. Once again, we see the same passage of Scripture. God saw fit to put it in the Ten Commandments. Honor our father and our mother. And then we see Paul encouraged and exhorted the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:2 to do the same. And so this is a command that God has given us from the days of ancient all the way up into the here and the now. To us, the body of Christ, the church, in 2016, here in Singapore, at Coos, God is calling us to cultivate in our hearts a heart of honor towards our mothers. I think we can probably end it there. We want to open the altars. If we could have the worship team come up and
pray a blessing
and play some music. I want to pray a blessing over the mothers that are here today. You mothers have a tough job, an incredible responsibility that God has laid on your shoulders, and you've done well. And we just bless you. So if you just close your eyes and if you're a mom, if your children are around you, or regardless, if you're a mom, those that are around moms, just lay your hand on her. And I'm going to pray a blessing. And we want to just impart a blessing to the moms today. Yeah. We want to encourage them.
And also I'm reminded, if the mother is not in the house and perhaps the father is the one doing the raising, mm-hmm. let's honor them too.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, it was in an earlier service. If that's the case, you just touch the person. If whoever represents the mother in your household, whether it be an auntie, an uncle, grandmother, a father, a mother, let's honor today.
So if we could just bow our heads, I want to pray a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this house today. We thank you for your word, God, that teaches us and encourages us, builds us up, Father. Father, you have laid out a plan for our lives. You've given us mothers and you've given us fathers. You've given us family. God, you are the God of community and you love our families. So, Father, today we want to honor our mothers. We want to bless the mothers in this house today. And so, mothers, we bless you to prosper. I bless you to prosper, Mom. I bless you to increase financially in all of your substance that you would never experience lack. Moms, I bless you to increase intellectually in wisdom, the wisdom that you have and that you've been operating in. I bless you to increase in wisdom from this day forward. I bless you, moms, to increase in your expression of love, your ability to express love to your children, to your family, and not just them, but for everyone that you meet. Because, moms, you are a Proverbs 31 woman. You are a blessing. You have so much value, and the spirit of love dwells inside of you and pours out from you. You are a conduit of love. Moms, I bless you to prosper relationally. I bless you to be that redeemer using love to heal the broken relationships, those relationships that are estranged, whether it's between you and your children or your children with their siblings. I bless you, Mom, to be a peacemaker. I bless you, Mom, to feel valued. I bless you to receive every good and perfect gift that Father has for you. I bless you to enjoy today with family.
Yes. And as a mom, I give you permission to release yourself from making the mistakes that you've made. That it's okay. That if Eden made mistakes, how do we think we can't? And so I release you and give you permission to be free. Yeah. I want to bless your voice. That as you speak to your children, even as adult children or younger children, that you do it with a compassion, with tenderness, with a heart that comes from heaven, that love pours out through your voice, that it's your voice that builds up and not tears down your house. I bless your eye gate, that from your eyes love might pour out the heart of the Father.
Thank you,
that love might pour out nurturing.
Thank you,
that love without a word.
Thank you,
love is poured out through your heart, through your eyes. That your eyes would say, I believe in you. You can do it. I value you. That touch, I bless your hands. That everything you touch might prosper. I bless your hands to be that of hands of healing, hands that bring comfort, hands that nurture, hands that bring healing and life and impart life in all you do. I want to thank you and affirm you for all the years you've toiled and served and given selflessly to your children. We bless you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this house, and we bless this house in Jesus' name.
And to all the children in this home, in this house, whether you're adult children, whether you're teenage children, or whether you're adolescents, I bless you. I bless you to increase in your ability to sow honor in your mom's heart and in her life. In Jesus' name. We want to open up the altar. If anyone wants prayer for anything, earlier we had prayer for any of those married couples that have been wanting to have children but haven't been successful at that yet. We want to open the altar for any prayer needs that you might have. There's a prayer team available if you want to come forward. For the rest of you, have a wonderful Mother's Day. Thank you.
We got the water down there. We got water down there.
Yeah, I've got this one open already.
I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grave. Stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. Bring me near, draw me to your side, and as my way I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your
Bob and Kelly for bringing the word of encouragement for us. You know, today is Mother's Day and he's given us some suggestions of how you can honor and bless your mom today. As you go back from this place, make sure you do it. You still have a day to do it. You know, whether it's by a word, a kind word, touch, maybe even through giving the gift of forgiveness to your mom. If there's something to be forgiven for, a look, smell, you know, all these things, taste, food, you know. So as we go from this place, may the Lord move you to honor your mom this day, that it may be well with you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the word of reminder today. Lord, we thank you for our moms, and we thank you for all the moms who are here, Lord. Not an easy role. And Lord, you know how imperfect we are. Father, we do pray for your grace and mercy upon all the mothers here as they try to do their very best. God, may you help them. May you enable them to do what you have intended them to do, to be channels of your love and your blessing for the family. Lord, today we want to specially pray for all the mothers on this day that we remember their roles, not just today, but of course every day. But Lord, may you specially bless them with the joy of being a mom, Lord. Right now, Lord, as we go from this place, as we go and spend time with our families, Lord, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us and remain with us now and always. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Service is over. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. See you all back next week.